Do you know, it's so exciting to be a part of a Harvest Thanksgiving service. I feel like a mosquito at the beach. There's so many places, obvious places, where I can start. It's a job to know at times. Where do you begin when all that potential lies ahead of you? Well, we started by giving thanks, and it's right that we do give thanks on a Harvest Thanksgiving Sunday. We give thanks to God for the food that he supplies for us through the farmers, so that when we go to the shops, there's something to buy, something to eat, something to enjoy, something to be energized by. And I'm glad for that, aren't you? But not everybody has it. That's why, you may have noticed it, we always put the empty basket out just to the side on Harvest Thanksgiving to remind us, in all that we've got to be thankful for, there are some today, sadly, that will still go hungry. Not because there's not enough food in the world to feed them. Doesn't seem to be heart enough to want to share it with them. And you just look at all that's been provided here for us this morning. How can we not be thankful? And yet you young people, you know, when you think of harvest, and some of you older ones too, we only ever think sometimes of the harvest that comes from the field through the farmers. But you know, someone, somewhere around the world today, in our country, other places, is trying to bring in a different kind of harvest that they want to be as grateful and thankful for as the food harvest that's here before us today. We've just seen one on the screen. And some of you are going to get more information about this when you go to lunch in a few moments' time. I think of the midwives who helped to harvest a new generation of babies and keep mothers safe during childbirth, which is something that's so often taken for granted in our land, and yet somewhere like Afghanistan, as we've just seen, there are many children and many mums dying because the help is not on hand to deliver them. And then there's teachers too. I don't like to remind you of teachers when you're off school. You know, but teachers too, they're there to help us to learn and to harvest our ability to think as good as we can think, to understand why things work the way they work and why things are the way that they are. That's a harvest field. And then there's loving mums and dads. You ever thought about this? Who want to bring the best out of their children by bringing their best to their children and to harvest in those children. You and I, who had loving mums and dads, you know, a life that is there for you to enjoy to the full. Aren't you glad for the mums and dads that God has blessed you with? Or what about the sports coaches? You know, that are there to bring a harvest out of the talent that you've got so that you not only play the game well, you know, if you're particularly gifted at that game, you might reach the very top of that pile. Wouldn't that be great? Or what about others that we may know? Or, you know, we may not know as yet, who are there wanting to harvest a true friendship with us. To bring out what's possible when you've got a loyal, loving, faithful friend. Anybody here got a loyal, loving, faithful friend? Isn't that a great harvest to reap? And all God's people said, what? Wake up. Ha! Amen! It is. I mean, everywhere you look, young people, you look at the fields and to the farmers who grow our food, you look at the sea and those that go out each week and risk their lives to fish it for us, or you look to the skies and those that fly the world to make somebody's dreams come true, even if it's just to meet somebody they've not met for years and years and years, there's to be found in someone somewhere trying to get a harvest to gain the rewards and the results of what bringing a harvest in is all about. Isn't that wonderful? You don't have to be a farmer to bring a harvest in. Some of you young people, you can be a good student and you can read a lot and harvest all the knowledge in those books. It's a good harvest to bring in, isn't it? Or maybe you're a great athlete and you train hard and you're going to harvest to the best you can the chance you've got of winning the race. Or maybe you're a chef. Maybe you are. and you want to bring out the best flavour that's possible in the food that you eat so that your customers can enjoy it as well. All of us want to harvest something. And what we've just read together, or Juliet read to us a few moments ago, reminds us that Jesus is the Lord of the harvest, and he wants to harvest something too. Not food, but souls. Souls. Jesus came into this world to harvest souls, to bring us to God, to bring us life to the fullest that we can enjoy life as God intended us to enjoy life, to be for us whatever we're going through and to us everything we need as we go through it. He's here for a harvest. And he wants your soul, and he wants my life. As Jesus said himself, I have come to seek and to save the lost. Not the lost geographically, those people who can't read a map, but the lost spiritually, those who as yet don't know the living God. That is what Jesus came for. Jesus fed the hungry. We thank God for that. But he didn't leave heaven to come to earth to set up a restaurant. Jesus healed the sick, but he didn't leave heaven to come to earth simply to start a hospital. Jesus calmed the anxious, and he untied the knots in the minds of those who live in fear of what life might do to them, but he didn't leave heaven to come to earth simply to do that. He left heaven, and he came to earth for one main reason, and one main reason only, to harvest souls so that when we leave earth, we can go and be with him in heaven forever. And to do it meant his coming, to do it meant his living, to do it meant his dying, to do it meant his rising again from the dead, so that no matter how good we think or we don't think we are, no matter how clever we think or we don't think we are, no matter how gifted we think or we don't think we are, when we're lost to God, we can know that in Jesus Christ, he has come into this world to harvest souls, to bring life to us so that we can enjoy it as God intended. I was thinking of those three little boys that were arguing in the school playground. Now, none of you ever argue with your friends in the school playground, I'm sure. Just as none of you ever argue with your brothers and sisters. I'm convinced. But then I'm easily taken in. But I was thinking of those three little boys who were arguing one day in the school playground about who had the best dad. You ever done that? And one little boy said, my dad's the best. He's a teacher and he makes me clever for nothing. And the other little boy said, that's nothing, he said. My dad's a doctor and he makes me well for nothing. And the other little boy said, that is nothing. He said, my dad's the pastor of a church and he makes me good for nothing. Now, I tell you, we're all without Jesus good for nothing, because without him we can never be good enough for what God wants to bless us and bring to us in Jesus. He's here to harvest souls. As much as a farmer is there to harvest food, a midwife is there to harvest babies, Jesus is here to harvest souls. And because my time is short and your listening is not that long, I want to reduce what I'm going to say this morning to four very simple abbreviations. It always puzzles me that abbreviation is such a long word. Because it's a word that's there intended to shorten something. But there you go, that's the way it is. So for example, this is an abbreviation. We would say, instead of old age pensioner, of which we have none here, OAP. That's an abbreviation. Well, you don't say, if you say to some old age, no, they don't say that, say OAP. Or instead of saying as soon as possible, we say ASAP, don't we? We abbreviate it, we shorten it, and everybody knows, I hope, what it means. We don't say very important person, we say VIP. And did you notice this week that even Weight Watchers have slimmed down their title now? They're no longer Weight Watchers, they're WW. That's funny, isn't it? WW. Which is a complete opposite to what you want to go in to achieve. We want less of you, not more of you. And sometimes, you know, just for those of you who are the English students here and, you know, a little bit ahead of me, sometimes in trying to find a shorter way of saying something, because the phrase is too long, when you try and do that, you end up with what's called a new word. That's called an acronym. So SCUBA, for instance, is a new word that's born out of the fact that it's a self-contained underwater breathing apparatus. Hey, see? That was worth coming to church for, wasn't it? Some of you know NIMBY. It's a new word. Not in my backyard. Somebody else is fine, not in mine. Don't want to build any house there. But all I want to do today, very quickly, because time's going, is just to give you four abbreviations that I hope will encourage us to know that Jesus is here to harvest our soul, and we're here who know and love him to go out in his name to allow him to harvest even more souls as the Lord of the harvest. So here's the first one. See if you can guess what this might be from what we've already had read to us this morning. It's an abbreviation. T-N-I-G. Tanig. Anybody? I got a few prizes if you did catch it. Anybody have a go? Sorry? Those not in God. That's very good, but that's not what I've got. Yes? Sorry? Take note, but you're getting the idea. Now, what I think, and I've gone from this, we'll look at it if it comes up. The need is great. Say that with me. The need is great. To Nick, the need is great. Who was near? You did pretty well to get near, okay? Jackie likes savoury, not sweet, okay? So you can enjoy that one. The need is great. Do you remember what Juliet read to us? That Jesus was going out and about in all the towns and villages near to where he lived to tell people the good news and also to meet the needs that he saw when he went out and about. And he healed people as well. Everywhere he went, the need was great. Everywhere you and I go, the need is great. And sometimes we need reminding of that because, as somebody beautifully once said, nobody cares how much you know until they know how much you care. Isn't that true? We can share Jesus with the world, but unless we show Jesus to the world, and the need is great, who is going to listen to us? And the Bible says we're to do good to all people. All people. So there's not a single person that we're ever going to meet who's got a need that is great that we shouldn't do something to do good for. And don't give up. Bible says you do good to all people, but don't give up. Don't lose heart in doing good. Don't become weary in doing good, because God says, I promise you this, in the proper season, you will reap a harvest. The need is great. I remember when I went to secondary school. I don't know what school you got. Some of you go to Upper Shirley. Some of you are to Oasis. 11 years of age. Can you imagine me at 11? Thank you very much. I shall go and find a corner in a minute and cry myself to sleep. Thank you for your encouragement. Can you not... Can't think of me as 11. I was 11 once. My wife says I was born at 56, but I was 11 once. And I remember at 11, I missed my school bus home. Now, for me, that's a 5-mile walk from where I went to school back home. And at the end of a long day, it was a long walk. And I started out on this walk, and suddenly I felt a real pain in my side. I'd only just started the school, missed the bus, wasn't feeling great in my own spirit. And then suddenly, I get this pain in the side, some kind of stitch. Have you ever had a stitch? Oh, it's, you know, and it was so bad, I just had to lie down by the side of the road. Next thing I knew, there's a great big boy standing over me. I recognised him because he was one of the boys in the final year at school that everybody said to me, don't go near him. You know? So I was already feeling a bit down. Now I was getting discouraged. But I looked up and he said to me, what's the problem? I said, I got this terrible pain in my side. They said, where do you live? I said, about 5 miles up that road. And off he went. And I thought, oh, I'm glad that he went off because I didn't know what he was going to do to me. The next minute he's back. He's back. He got his bike. And he put me on the crossbar of his bike. And he rode me all the way home. I tell you that I was 11 years of age. That's 306 years ago. I was 11 years of age, and I tell you, I have never forgotten that act of kindness. Listen, boys and girls, the need is great. The world needs us to show the kindness of Jesus, because when we show the kindness of Jesus, whether it's in a small way or a big way, they'll never forget the kindness. Do you see it around you in Shirley and in your community? Have you got the eyes that are open to see the need? Have you got the heart that's open to feel the need? Have you got the hands that are open to meet the need? Harvest is a time when we remember God's goodness with food. But let's remember that we've got people that have got great need, and we can go and harvest for their good and for God's glory if we do some kind things for them. So that's Tanig. What about this one, Tamil? Any ideas what this abbreviation stands for? Anybody? Sorry? The month is long. What month are you thinking of? That's a good guess. Well done. You can have a bar, at least for entering into it. There you go. All right. Well, what I think it is, the motive is love. All right? Now, the need is great, and we want to go out and be kind in Jesus' name to meet the needs that we see, because Jesus went out and did it. And if you're going to follow Jesus, you've got to go out and do what Jesus did. But the motive is love. We're told that when Jesus went out and about in all these towns and villages to meet the need that was great, he had compassion on the people. There are people who need to know they're loved. Isn't that true? That's why we do it. Not because we have to, but because we want to. I was in the Ukraine. Some of you know I went to the Ukraine at the beginning of August to take some services in our twin church in the Ukraine. And I was speaking to about 70 or 80 young people like you between the ages of, 8 and 15. And I was telling them the story of Jesus and telling him about his love for them. And at the end of that story, one girl who must have been about 8 or 9 came up, jumped on my lap, and gave me the biggest hug in the world. It was one of those hugs like you felt. She did never want to let go of me. And it's a lovely feeling. And then she kept saying the same thing over and over again. And I didn't know what she was saying. So I asked the lady who was translating for me, what is she saying? And the little girl who was hugging me with her arms around me was just saying, love me. Love me. And when I knew her backstory and where she'd come from, what she'd been through, it's no wonder that was the cry of her heart. Love me. I'll never forget it. How can you forget that? But it reminds me in the great need that's out there. The motive is love. And when we've experienced the love of God for us, are we not moved and stirred as Jesus was with compassion and love for those who may need to know that they are loved, but nobody ever told them, that they are special, but nobody ever shared it with them, that their life is as beautiful to God as anybody's? Are we motivated by love? I hope we are. I hope we are. Sometimes we have to do things because we're told to do it. Like my granddaughter goes to Netley Mars School, and I was waiting to pick her up a couple of Mondays back, and one little boy was hurting his sister. And the dad said to the little boy, "Now you go and say sorry to your sister." And the little boy went over and he said to his sister, he said, "I'm sorry. And I'm only sorry because Dad told me to be sorry." Do you sometimes wonder, you know, and it's true of me, and I guess it's true of you, and it's certainly true of public figures at different times. Do you think they're sorry for the fact they've just been caught out? Or do you think they're genuinely sorry for what they've been caught out doing? Now, our motive is love. We're not to judge a person's heart. We don't know what their motive is, but our motive is love. We go in Jesus' name to bless them with the good news, and that at harvest, that good news recognizes that somebody has put some work in to bring us a blessing. The farmers worked hard to bring us the harvest. Midwives work hard to bring to birth those little boys and little girls that are going to grow up to be the next generation of lovelies. And Jesus Christ worked himself to death on a cross in order to harvest souls, because he loves us and he gave himself for us. And when we're genuinely sorry for what we've done that put him on that cross, not because the pastor's telling us to be sorry, not because our mums and dads are telling us to be sorry, not because anybody else is telling us to be sorry, but the Holy Spirit of God is witnessing to our spirit that we want to be sorry, then God will forgive us and harvest our souls, bring us into his family, and bless us with life. Isn't that a wonderful thing? You go out and show that love in Jesus' name, and you're going to reap a harvest. Remember, whatever you sow, you're going to reap. If you want to reap carrots, don't sow potatoes. All right? If you want to be light, don't sow unpleasantness. All right? If you want to meet the need in Jesus' name, do it because you love Jesus and you love the person that he wants you to go to. And then what about this one then? TWAF. What do you think that's an abbreviation for? Anybody? Oh, Clint, he's awake and over here. What did you think? The workers are few. There you go. Brilliant. It's true, isn't it? You know, when Jesus is out and about, meeting the great need with compassion, because he looks past people's faces and he understands their fears. What does he ask his disciples to do? Not to pray for a bigger harvest, but to pray for more workers to go and work in that harvest field. There's not one verse in the whole of the Bible that commands those who don't know Jesus Christ to come into church. Not one single verse. But there are many verses that command those of us who do know and love Jesus Christ to go out and share the message of hope and life with them. Isn't that true? You know, last year, my car stopped working. The clutch went. I had Lydia, I don't know if Lydia's here today, and Esther, and in the car with me, and had to just pull over by the side of the road, and I called the RAC out. The RAC man came, and you know, when he arrived, he asked me the same question that he probably would ask you if you were standing there and your car wasn't going. He said, "Do you know what the problem is?" And before I had a chance to say anything, because I did, my little granddaughter, Lydia, said, "The go got broke." Which I think was lovely. The go got broke. The clutch had gone, but she didn't understand that. The go got broke. It's not just a tragedy of a car that's clutch has gone. It's a tragedy of a Christian life that go got broke. Because there are people who need to hear the goodness of God. And for some of us who know him and love him, the go got broke. We were too tired, too uncertain of what we believed to try and share, even in our uncertainty, the certainty of what God promises. Oh, the go got broke. The great thing I love about this church is that every door you go out of, did you notice? They open out. All the doors open out. And when we leave here this morning, isn't that a reminder that when we see the great need, when we go with a motive of love, we don't want to be a worker that's missing from where God wants us to be in action and in care and in love and fruitful for him. There's always more work to do than there are workers to do it. And then one other thing, and this is not just an encouragement to me. T-H-I-N, what do we think this means? Now, Clint? Any ideas? Nearly. The heart, Wendy, I'm not going to throw it that far back. I'll give it to you at the end, all right? The harvest is now. The harvest is now. When you look at all the fruit up here, boys and girls, you understand that there are certain times of the year when certain fruit and certain veg and certain foods become available to us. We've got summer fruits, haven't we? Things that you can harvest in the summer. Strawberries, aren't they great to eat in the summer? But you wouldn't get them in England in the winter unless we flew them in from a warmer country, would you? You know, there's winter fruits that we have. Sometimes you can pick a pear in the winter. We've got conkers that are just coming into fruit now, aren't they? You've been down Shirley Avenue. What number do you live at, Evelyn? 66. Go into Evelyn's place. Thousands of conkers. They're falling on top of her car. All right? Harvest them. 2 weeks after that, we'll get the chestnuts. You love chestnuts? Come to the manse where we live. I promise you, if it's like last year, there's a great harvest to be had. Different times of the year produce a harvest of different fruits. But for those of us who know and love the Lord Jesus, who've been harvested in our souls through God's grace and goodness, that he died so that we can be forgiven, the harvest is now. There's never a time of year, never a place we go, never an opportunity that need be missed, because wherever we are, whoever we know, the harvest is now. Isn't that right? It is right. Let me finish with this. We can't tell everybody, can we? I can't tell everybody about the love of God. Oh, I wish I could. I wish I could. I can't tell everybody that he's here to harvest their soul. They can find life in every dimension and every bit of glory in him. I can't do that. But look at this empty chair. You can't tell everybody. But I wonder this week, in your house, in the empty chairs that you've got, I wonder who's going to come and sit in one of them. Just one person, perhaps. Maybe a member of the family is going to come and, oh, can I sit here? Sit there. You could tell them. Maybe a neighbour who pops in says, oh, have a cup of tea together. Can I sit here? Oh, I could tell them, couldn't I? Maybe that person that's become a little bit discouraged or disenfranchised with life because of what they're going through wants to pour out their heart to you. Can I sit here? You could start with them, couldn't you? Be sensitive, be loving. You know, don't bang them over the head with the bits of the Bible that you know. You're not there to judge anybody for what they've done. You're there to introduce them to the one who took the judgment for them. Jesus, our substitute. I don't think there's a football player who ever wants to be substituted. I looked at Mo Salah coming off the field yesterday for Liverpool. He didn't look too happy. Any football player wants to be on the football field. They don't want to be substituted. But I've met a lot of young people who would be very happy for somebody to go on an exam and take their place and do it. I've met quite a few people who'd love somebody else to go and sit in the dentist chair for them. Wouldn't you? But when Jesus died on that cross, he wasn't dying for his sin, he was dying for mine and for yours. He wasn't being punished for any wrong that he'd done. He was being punished for the wrongs that I've done so that he could put me right with God. I don't know who's going to come and sit in that chair this week in your home. But it may be a starting place because the harvest is now. So here's the end. Here's the end. I'm finishing now. Some of you were finished 5-10 minutes ago. Here's the end. What about this? Question mark. What it? What? What? When is your harvest? Yep, it could be that. I went for this. Where is your heart? Has Christ harvested your soul? Have you put your trust in Jesus Christ? Because though you're not good enough, he was good enough for you. And if you have, It could also mean this. Where is your harvest? I can't come into your school. I can't necessarily come into your home. I can't live in your street and you can't live in mine. Where is your harvest? The workers are few. The motive is love. The need is great. Keep it short, keep it simple, but isn't it wonderful that that message can reap a harvest that doesn't just last for a season, it lasts forever. God bless you. You young people, God bless you. You've got your whole life ahead of you. There's so much you can harvest. And for all the talent that you fulfill, for all the exams that you pass, for all the money that you earn, for all that God's going to bless you with, may above and beyond all that, may you know that your own life has been harvested in Jesus Christ. And you're ready for Him when that final day of reaping arrives. Let's pray together. Bow our heads. Father, thank you for your word. Because your word is seed that you plant in our lives. And I pray this morning that as it's been planted there through these simple abbreviations, Lord, that you would germinate that seed. Bring it to life in our hearts so that we can respond to you out of love. Trust you with our faith. And Lord, allow you to harvest our souls. And if you've harvested our souls, Lord, may we go out and be workers in the field of this world, wherever that part of the world is that we are, and be sharers and showers of that good news so that others can discover you for themselves. Lord, we pray your help in this and your encouragement for it, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.